something completely different.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and to my right I have...
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And Matt, you are from...
Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
And I'm pastor at two parishes, St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt. And by the way, we have a web page now, Matt.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. So if you want to find out what's going on, just go to stpaultrinitylcms.org.
Very nice.
St. Paul, no punctuation, no periods, okay. Just St. Paul Trinity LCMS. And we had to add the LCMS because apparently there is another St. Paul Trinity somewhere.
Is that right?
Yeah, that domain was taken, as was Trinity St. Paul.
Huh.
But we put the LCMS in there.
Oh, perfect. So do you spell it Saint?
No, oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. S-T, Paul, Trinity, LCMS, .org.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, okay, check it out. Maybe by the time you get there, I might even have some pictures of me posted. I haven't got that far with it yet. We just kind of had stuff about what's coming up. What's coming up this week, Matt?
This week is Holy Week.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So big deal for not just Trinity St. Paul, but probably for Christians everywhere.
Exactly. Emmanuel, what, you guys are celebrating it too, aren't
you? We've got a few things planned.
I bet you Pope Francis will be doing something with this too.
I know it.
Because he's a sharp guy. I'm sure he wants to get right into that Easter stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure he does. And I know, I hope we've gotten over being passed over for the Pope. I'm sure you're the second choice.
That's a good way to
your
say it.
Your name came up.
I was probably nominated.
Well, yeah, when the black smoke came up, I'm sure it was because you were a close second.
And then they listened to Wrestling with the Basics, and that was it. If there was any argument before, no, forget that. That Matt Clark guy, though, put him down on the list.
Maybe next time. I won't hold my breath.
Well, Matt, do you know where you were 7 years ago this time of the year?
7 years ago?
Yeah.
Remember? Where was I? It's Trinity St. Paul.
There you go, which didn't have a website at that point.
The websiteless churches.
But we had Matt Clark, so we didn't need a website. Matt was actually our vicar. Just had a wonderful, wonderful time with Matt. And does not the Lord work in mysterious ways, Matt?
I would not have expected 7 years ago to be sitting here in the studio at KFUO Radio doing Wrestling with the Basics.
You were probably hoping you would never. But just like Job, you've been cursed. There's
cursed
no
God
getting away
die.
From it. And back then, when we were doing our stuff for Holy Week, you actually had a conversation with a...
with a donkey.
Yes. You know, what was I to say? Matt had his own donkey. I thought, well, fine with me.
Bring him along.
So this is actually a series of scripts that Matt and I did originally 7 years ago, with Matt interviewing the donkey by the name of Max. We've said enough. Just let's go on into the
scripts. How many vicars get to do that, by the way?
You were the only
one.
Any
of you donkeys. I think I'm probably the only one in the history of the seminary.
That's true.
Part of the vicar's experience. Was talking to a donkey.
Although I imagine many of the vicars would say they're pastors. Well, anyway, let's not go there. Yes. And by the way, you were the only vicar we ever had at Trinity St. Paul LCMS, or St. Paul Trinity LCMS.org.
And I've always wondered why that is.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? They said, we're never sending anyone back there again. What were we thinking? Anyway. Pick it up, Matt.
We have a treat for you today. We're going to be doing a special series for Lent featuring an old friend, Max of Donkey Max's Transportation Service.
Our motto is, the finest ride fur can provide.
But you're not here to talk about yourself, are you, Max? You're with us to talk about an ancestor of yours who was there.
Yeah,
Holy Week.
That's right, Matt. A donkey like myself by the name of Jack Aspirations. He was called that because he aspired to be a donkey to the stars.
All right, so where would you like to start your story, Max?
Well, you know, I think I'll start it on what you guys are celebrating tomorrow, Palm Sunday. But before I begin the story, I've actually got a question I'd like to ask you first.
A question for me? Well, sure, go right ahead.
Well, you know, the story of Jack Aspirations has been handed down in my family for generations. But there was one part of the story I could never figure out.
What's that, Jack?
Well, you know, at Christmas time, Jesus came to Jerusalem at Holy Week. Jack was a pretty old mule, semi-retired. But what I didn't tell you was that he wasn't like me.
What do you mean he wasn't like you?
Well, I'm an independent owner-operator. I answer to nobody but myself. Jack, on the other hand, works for one of the local rental outfits in the Tri-City area.
The Tri-City area?
Well, yeah, Bethany, Bethphage, and Jerusalem. So anyhow, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with a donkey owner, Matt.
Well, I've dealt with a few donkeys in my day, but I can't say I've ever dealt with a donkey owner.
Well, you know, people say donkeys are stubborn, but they're nothing compared to donkey owners. And not only are they stubborn, but they're tight as well. Do you know what I mean? Believe you me, that's why I got out on my own as soon as possible. No working for the man, for me.
So what's your question, Max?
Well, see, according to the story I was told, these donkey owners that Jack worked for gave not one, but two donkeys to Jesus' disciples, who just came along and asked for them. In fact, they didn't even ask. They just started taking them until Jack's bosses interrupted them. But despite what would appear to be a blatant case of shoplifting, or perhaps I should say burrow lifting, instead of throwing them in the old Gray Bar Hotel, the owner simply allowed them to take the donkeys.
What did the disciples say to the owners?
Well, it wasn't stick 'em up or are you a donkey, are you life? I mean, then I would understand the owner's behavior. But no, they just said, the Lord has need of it.
I think you've answered your question yourself.
Huh?
This might be hard for you to understand, Max.
Hey, what are you saying? I'm mule-headed?
You are mule-headed, Max. You're a donkey.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's just hard for anyone to understand why people can be so generous. But these owners were simply acting in faith. The Lord had need of it, and so they gave of what they had. That's the way believers in the Lord Jesus Christ behave.
Hey, don't be kidding me. I've hauled a lot of people to church and back, and they were hardly generous. Every donkey knows churchgoers are the worst of tippers.
Well, I didn't say believers are perfect. They still have sin in their flesh. They still struggle with it until they die. But they also have something else going on within them, something the Bible calls the new life in Christ.
Now, you got me puzzled here. So where does this new life come from?
That's something I hope we'll see in the story you're going to tell us. This new life in Christ reflects the generosity of our Lord. In fact, as we go through Holy Week, we'll see him make the ultimate act of generosity. He'll give up his life for all men.
Oh, yeah, I get it now. So this new life is some kind of gratitude for what Jesus did for people.
Well, no, it's not gratitude at all. Gratitude is a natural feeling that all people have, a desire to be nice to people who've been nice to them. But the new life in Christ involves more sacrifice than gratitude. I mean, more sacrifice than gratitude would ever motivate. And it involves showing kindness to complete strangers or even to your enemies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kind of like what Jesus did on the cross.
Exactly. And in turn, what these donkey owners did in the story. They didn't know these disciples who came to them. These disciples of Jesus had never done them any favors, and yet these owners willingly gave of their stock.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And I know those owners didn't give up their lives, but believe you me, for a donkey owner to part with one of his mules, well, that's something you don't see every day.
And that's my point. This new life in Christ, in many ways, actually goes against our first thoughts and intentions. It's like there's something within us that actually prevails over the desires of our flesh.
Well, where can one get this new life?
That's the thing. You don't really get it. It's more like it's given to you. Like the disciple said, the Lord has need of it. The more you hear the word of God, the more you know what kind of Lord he is. The more you know the height and the depth and the breadth of the love that he has for you. This change just sort of starts happening. It's just one more thing that comes along with the faith that the Lord gives to us.
I don't know. When I think about the story I'm about to tell, there's a lot of selfishness and cowardly behavior and betrayal. Hardly what I'd call the new life.
Like I said, Max, I'm not saying believers are perfect. In fact, part of the new life is a realization that we Christians can be the worst of sinners. But strangely enough, out of this knowledge can flow some of the greatest acts of generosity and sacrifice.
Well, I'll tell you the story, and you'll have to show me this generosity and sacrifice you're talking about.
If we follow the story to the end, I certainly will, Max. I certainly will.
You know, you might have a point. These donkey owners certainly didn't act like any donkey owners I've known. Well, anyway, next time we get together, I'll tell you what happened after these men gave what the Lord needed.
All right, sounds good, Max.
All right, so that was actually the first script that you did, interviewing the donkey Max there for Holy Week. You want to go ahead and do another one here?
Yeah, might as well.
All right.
Don't want to leave people hanging.
Let's go. With a little nostalgia here.
Great. This morning, we welcome back one of our most unusual guests, Donkey Max of Max's Donkey Transportation. Max is a burro who's been telling us about the exploits of one of his distant ancestors, a donkey by the name of Jack.
Or as they nicknamed him, Jack Aspirations, for he aspired to be a donkey to the stars.
Well, you just told us about Jack, how he was there in Jerusalem during Holy Week. And if I remember correctly, now you're going to tell us what happened the afternoon of Palm Sunday.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You see, Jack was there for that great parade.
Before you do that, however, there's a couple of discrepancies about your story I'd like to clear up.
Hey, what are you suggesting? That I haven't been totally forthright with you, huh? What?
No, it's not that. It's just that there are a couple things that don't make sense to me.
All right, please, I'm not offended if you question some of the things I've said. It is a burden that we honest donkeys realize we have to live with. I mean, I understand that there are so many lying donkeys out there that people question the truthfulness of all donkeys. Darn those congressmen. So anyway, what's your problem there, Matt?
Well, you said Donkey Jack was there on Palm Sunday. But according to the Bible, it was a young donkey that Jesus rode on, accompanied by a female donkey. Now, unless Jack is really a Jenny, your story doesn't match up with the historical record.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry. I thought I told you. Jack didn't take the big assignment of hauling the Messiah into town. Yeah, he let one of the younger guys take it. And, of course, what mother wouldn't want to accompany her son on his first big assignment?
But that's my point. Why wouldn't Donkey Jack jump at the opportunity to give his old friend Jesus another ride, just for old time's sake?
Yeah, kind of like what you and I are doing here. Well, you know, I guess if he knew it was his old friend, he probably would have. However, if you'll open your Bible, you will see that when the disciples came asking for a donkey, they said it was for the Lord, not for Jesus. Although it probably wouldn't have made any difference if they had said it was for Jesus.
Why wouldn't it have made any difference?
Well, you got to remember that back then, Jesus was a very common name, as common as, say, Matt or John is today. There were all kinds of Jesuses running around, which is not surprising.
What do you mean it's not surprising?
Well, you know what the name Jesus means, don't you?
Oh, sure. It's the Greek form of the old Hebrew name Joshua. It means he saves.
Well, you got to remember, these Jewish people have a long history of oppression. For years, they had been dominated by one country after another. At the time of Palm Sunday, the tyrant du jour, as they say, was the Roman Empire. Naturally, every Jewish mother hoped that her boy would grow up to be the next Joshua, the next leader who would restore his nation back to the days of milk and honey. No wonder there were all kinds of Jesuses running around.
But still, we're talking about Donkey Jack Aspirations here, the mule who aspired to be donkey to the stars. I'd have thought he would have jumped at the chance to carry the latest celebrity into town, regardless of who he was.
Yeah. You're talking about the young Donkey Jack there, Matt. Kind of like you. but as Jack had grown older, you know, like that pastor guy you work with, he'd also grown quite a bit wiser. I mean, how many Jewish saviors had Jack seen over the last 30 years? Say, what, a half dozen of them? And as I said, every mother wanted her son to grow up to be the next Joshua. And there are enough foolish sons around who believe their mother's dreams. Trust me, Matt, there was always another hero who wanted to ride into Jerusalem, and they always came to the same end.
Max, you speak like you've had some personal experience in these matters.
Oh, hey, don't let this clean-cut working borough appearance fool you, Matt. I grew up in the 60s. There was a time when these ears of mine flopped all the way to my shoulders. Believe you me, I hauled around any number of men who were going to change the system. But one thing I learned in all of this, don't try to stick it to the man, because the man always comes out on top. As they say, I fought the law, and the law won.
Oh, Max, you sound a little cynical about all this.
Well, maybe I am. I was there in Chicago at the Democratic Convention. Believe me, you don't want to be the beast of burden when the tear gas begins to fly. Jack had learned that same lesson. He'd hauled any number of those wannabe messiahs around. It's all great when everyone's shouting Hosanna and waving their palm branches. But trust me, you don't want to be the carrying the guy when they start throwing stones at him.
Still, don't you miss the excitement of those old days?
Yeah, sometimes I do. And I suspect when the parade started that Palm Sunday, Jack kind of wished he'd gone ahead and taken the assignment. You know, there is something about being the center of attention. People all around you shouting Hosanna, laying their coats and palm branches for you to walk on. A donkey doesn't get that kind of treatment every day. But it was too late then. So Jack, he just kind of followed along behind.
That reminds me of another question I had. When he saw that great procession, why didn't he recognize that it was his old buddy Jesus heading up this spectacle?
Well, now, remember, Matt, it had been 30 years since he'd seen Jesus. The last time they'd been together, Jesus was just, what, 2, 3 years old?
Yes, but you think Jack would have seen that this Messiah was different from the other ones. After all, Mary and Joseph had named their boy Jesus, not hoping that he would be a political hero. But as the angel told them, this Jesus would save his people from their sins.
Well, I'm sure Jack would remember that story. You know, he was the donkey there on the night that Jesus was born. He knew that there would be something special about that baby. But you see, he didn't know it was that same Jesus who was parading in Jerusalem the day. In fact, nobody knew that. Sure, the people shouted Hosanna, which means save us now, but they were thinking of a political savior, someone who would save them from the evil Roman oppressors and the corrupt Jewish leaders. Nobody in that crowd, what, I don't even think his disciples, realized that Jesus was coming there to save them from their sins. Jack thought this was just another of those pretend messiahs, and he knew they all came to the same end. They all ended up dead.
You know, it's ironic, Jack. This messiah came to Jerusalem for a totally different purpose than those before him. But he too would come to the same end. In fact, he had to, in order to save his people from their sins.
You know that, and I know that, but nobody else did that day. All Jack could see was that this guy was headed for trouble. And as if he hadn't stirred up enough trouble Sunday, he won't believe that what he would do the next day.
Well, what did he do?
Well, I tell you what, that'll be the subject for our next little discussion, Matt.
All right, Max. Thank you for your time and happy burrowing.
All right, did that bring back memories?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Yeah. But, yeah, you weren't wearing the puppet, though. You didn't bring along the hand puppet.
So it kind of loses a little of the realism.
It does. I mean, I understand we're on radio and all, but still.
I'm going to tell a little story on Matt here. Actually, I think for a while Matt thought that there actually was a donkey. Come on, Matt. Fess up.
Well, I was just a naive vicar at the time.
That's right. Did it really kind of affect you, though, when you realized it was just me with a hand up in a donkey's head? I hope that didn't disturb you. That's probably warped you for life, hasn't it?
wake up in a cold sweat. But I will say, at the time of vicarage, we had our son Noah, who's 9 now, he's 2.5, 3 years old, and he loved it.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And hopefully got something out of it, too.
Yeah. Well, those were the good old days. And anytime you want to come back and talk to a donkey, you're always welcome to come back and talk to me.
I know where to find you.
Yeah. That couldn't come out exactly the way I thought it was. So here's the scoop. Let me kind of lay out for people what we're going to be doing. This is Palm Sunday weekend. Do you celebrate with the full palm branches and all that stuff?
Well, we have the palm fronds, so we have okay. just the single strip kind of
yeah.
from the palm
yeah.
branch. We don't have big
the whole
palm branches.
Yeah,
the whole branch.
Yeah. In fact, don't let me forget when I leave here, I got to go buy the local Christian supply. They said they got them in the refrigerator waiting for me.
All ready
so
to go.
So pick those up for tomorrow. Anything else you guys do special for Palm Sunday?
Well, we do the processional. I think this year we're going to include children in that processional.
Oh, how neat.
So that's kind of neat. So lay down the palm branches at the foot of the cross and then sing, of course. So, looking forward to that. And it really just kicks off that whole week, like you said, of different recognitions of what happens during that holy week in Jesus' life.
And why don't we just take a few minutes here and lay out for people what the things are we're going to be doing this Holy Week. You want to start with your church, and I'll share them with what we're doing at our church?
Sure. Well, we're kicking things off with an Easter egg hunt.
Awesome! Nothing says resurrection like Easter egg hunt.
But that's Saturday before okay. Palm Sunday. But not just
so this day that we're talking right
yes,
now.
Yes,
what
yes.
time?
So today. Yeah, today, 10 o'clock. So hurry.
Yeah.
Jump in your car now. Go. But it kicks off at 10 o'clock, and Easter egg and other activities. But the main thing is we'll also be having a sort of a children's message where we're sharing what Easter is all about, the resurrection.
Yeah.
It's not just about plastic Easter eggs. It's not about just bunnies, but about the resurrection of our Lord. So sharing that story as well, having a giveaway of one of those arch books from CPH that depicts that Easter account. So anyway, it's Saturday, then Sunday's Palm Sunday, and Maundy Thursday we have services. Maundy Thursday, again, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And then Good Friday, we have a service at noon.
What time is the service on Maundy Thursday?
Maundy Thursday, 7:30.
7:30, okay.
And then and Good Friday, one at noon, and then one in the evening at 7:30 as well.
Okay.
And then Easter Sunday, this is kind of neat. We have an outdoor worship out at Camp Warper.
That's a long-standing tradition, too, isn't
yeah,
it, Matt?
Yeah, so, if you don't have plans on Easter Sunday, anyone out there,
and again,
check
what time is that?
I'll have to check. I think it's 6:30, if
okay.
I remember right. It's been a whole year since we had
Are you doing that service, Matt?
Yeah, well, we do it jointly with Emmanuel in Waterloo and then Holy Cross Lutheran in Wartburg, Illinois, right by camp.
Okay.
So we kind of work together. I think this year it's the pastor over in Wartburg's turn to preach. So.
Ah, okay. So this is why you're not all that concerned about what time it is.
I don't know what time it is. I'm not preaching. And then there's pancakes afterwards at the camp.
Oh, at the camp.
Yeah.
All right,
so
good.
Come on out for pancakes.
So you can get the service, you can get the pancakes, and then is there later services at Emmanuel?
Yeah, then at Emmanuel we have our regular scheduled services at 7:45 and 10:15.
Our schedule will be, we're not doing any Easter egg hunt, but when I get done here, I'm going to jump in my car. We can get to Waterloo in a half hour from here, can't we?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah,
go,
we'll
go, go.
For the Easter eggs. But we will have Maundy Thursday service as well. Ours will be at 7 o'clock, though, and that service will be out at the small church out in Darmstadt.
Oh, great.
But that's kind of fun to worship out there, and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper since that was the night he instituted it. We're actually having a new Good Friday service as well. My goodness, the time is up. Where's the closing? There it is.
We'll have to just check out the website
yeah,
for more
information. Check out the website for more information. But yeah, a 3 o'clock service and a 7 o'clock service on Good Friday. And then we will have all of our regular service times to celebrate Easter. So
excellent.
Very good. Blessed Holy Week for you, Matt. I will talk to you, and we'll have our Holy Week stuff next week.
Wonderful.